In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation, and as always, it's great to be with you. We always like to start off our conversation by turning to Mary. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of the Church. Mary is the Mother of each and every one of us. When we pray the Hail Holy Queen, we invoke Mary as our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So let's turn to Mary and ask Mary for that grace that we had experienced her loving maternal presence as we prepare to celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit, Pentecost, which will be this Sunday. So let's pray the prayer that Mary loves most, and that's the Hail Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now, my friends, let's turn to our spiritual director, and our spiritual director is the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit has many wonderful titles, among which would be the Holy Spirit is the Paraclete. Holy Spirit is also known as the Gift of Gifts. Holy Spirit is also known as the Counselor. He's also known as the Consoler. And on the Feast Day of Pentecost, we're going to be praying one of the most beautiful prayers to the Holy Spirit. And that prayer is the sequence in which we call the Holy Spirit the sweet guest of our soul. And he's also the interior master or teacher. Meaning, as St. Paul says in Romans 8, we don't know how to pray as we ought. Therefore, the Holy Spirit comes to our aid. We don't know how to pray as we ought. The Holy Spirit comes to our aid with ineffable groans, so we can say, Abba, Father. So let's turn to the Holy Spirit, as we say, Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation. Through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady of Fatima, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Faustina, pray for us. Saint Paul the Apostle, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's true, my friends, that the family that prays together stays together. The immortal saying of Father Patrick Peyton, family that prays together stays together. My friends and Jesus and Mary, to encourage you all the more, we always start by praying together. We pray to Mary, we pray to the Holy Spirit, we pray to the angels and the saints. And that's very important that we start off our day with prayer. St. Augustine goes on to say, he who prays well, lives well. He who lives well, dies well. He who dies well, all is well. Well said, St. Augustine. Well said, St. Augustine. So of all the prayers that we can offer to God, by far the greatest prayer we can offer is the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. No greater prayer. So the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, I'd like to place you on the altar and offer special intentions for all of you as well as for your family members. My first intention will be related to where we are liturgically. Is like to pray that we would all be open to the workings of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We'd be open to the workings of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Like to place you, as well as myself, on the altar, that we would be docile. Docile to the workings, docile to the inspirations of the Holy Spirit. Docile to the workings, docile to the inspirations of the Holy Spirit. In a word, our sanctification depends upon our docility to the Holy Spirit. Docility to the Holy Spirit. And a beautiful prayer I like to teach people, easy to memorize, is Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. My second intention, I'd like to pray in a special way for your family as well as your children. Once again, I strongly exhort all of you to try to be the best teachers of your children. Try to be the best teachers of your children. And your primary purpose in the education of your children is to instill in them a great love for God, fear of the Lord, and try to pay for them the highway to heaven. That's the primary purpose of good parents, to pave the way that your children would arrive safely at their eternal destiny. And their eternal destiny is heaven. Then, my friends, I think we have to keep in mind, once again, the importance of praying for world peace. Praying for world peace. So, my friends, I'd like to ask you one other intention, and it's the following, that starting tonight in the parish of Saint Therese in Alhambra, I'll be starting another Marian consecration program, which I'll be going the Thursdays of the month of June. And then we'll make our consecration on June 27th, which will be the feast day of Our Lady of Perpetual Help. I'd like to invite all of you to come and to be with us. Not physically, at least electronically, so that you can grow deeper in your devotion to Mary. What we've done over the past 3 months is we've been giving this spiritual exercises program, the 10-week program. We just finished giving a course on the Acts of the Apostles, known as the Gospel of the Holy Spirit. And now we're moving into a program in which we want to dedicate ourselves to giving ourselves to Christ through the Blessed Virgin Mary. So I invite you to pray and participate in our program. My friends, given that we're getting so close to Pentecost, the Acts of the Apostles is known as the Gospel of the Holy Spirit. I'd like to go through some of the various aspects of what the Church is teaching us, what Jesus is teaching us, what we're learning in the Acts of the Apostles. On the person of the Holy Spirit. On the person of the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? I think I told you a story on one occasion, and that for many years I have been teaching confirmation to the teenagers. When we arrive at confirmation, the day of confirmation, sometimes the bishop will preach by means of a dialogue with the students. Dialogue with the students. And he'll ask them questions sometimes on the Holy Spirit. So I taught a class on the Holy Spirit to the confirmation boys and said, you know, I want to make sure that you know who the Holy Spirit is. So I asked them, well, who is the Holy Spirit? Because a bishop might ask you. And if you don't respond properly, then I'm going to get in trouble. So, who is the Holy Spirit? No response. Who is the Holy Spirit? Nothing. Who is the Holy Spirit? And the boy raised his hand in the back and he said, Father, the Holy Spirit is the bird. The bird. The bird. Well, I think I can see some of you laughing in the background as you hear. The response of this boy is the Holy Spirit is the bird. In a certain sense, you have to give him credit because At least that's one of the symbols that you have for the Holy Spirit. One of the symbols you have for the Holy Spirit is not so much the bird, but the dove. Because in the baptism of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in his baptism you have the bird or the dove hovering over Jesus. The dove is hovering over Jesus. So at least the boy was able to get the symbol. I say that because the Holy Spirit probably for many people is the unknown person of the Trinity. He's the unknown person. Jesus, we know because we read through the Gospels, Jesus speaks of the Father, and we pray the Our Father. The Holy Spirit, for many, is a more distant, somewhat mythical, unknown person, the Holy Spirit. And to follow up on this, we're going through the Acts of the Apostles, and a couple of days ago, we had Apollo who didn't know about the Holy Spirit either. Then St. Paul moves into the interior of Ephesus. And he meets some believers there. Actually 12 men. And St. Paul says, "Have you received the Holy Spirit?" And they responded kind of the way my confirmation student responded. They said, we didn't even know that the Holy Spirit exists. So Paul said, "Well, whose baptism did you receive?" And they said, "We received the baptism of John the Baptist." So Paul prayed over them. The Holy Spirit descended upon these men, and then they started to prophesy. They started to prophesy. Therefore, my overall message as we start today is the Holy Spirit is unknown. The Holy Spirit is unknown by many, even practicing Catholics. So let's ask ourselves, who then is the Holy Spirit? Let's get to know the Holy Spirit as we get close to Pentecost. In just a matter of 3 days, we'll be celebrating Pentecost, which is the feast day of the Holy Spirit par excellence. Pentecost is the feast day of the Holy Spirit par excellence. Now in the Trinity, in the Blessed Trinity, to really understand the Holy Spirit, we have to at least delve into the mystery of the Blessed Trinity. After we celebrate Pentecost this Sunday, the following Sunday, my friends, we'll be celebrating the mystery of the Blessed Trinity. The mystery of the Blessed Trinity. And that is that we believe in this great mystery, even though we don't understand it, comprehend it totally, because a mystery is something that we cannot, it's not contradictory to reason, but it actually transcends reason. I repeat, it's not contradictory to reason, but it transcends. It transcends reason. It transcends reason. So as Christian Catholics, we believe in one God and three persons. One God and three persons, and that we call the mystery of the Blessed Trinity. And we shouldn't kid ourselves into believing that we'll be able to understand it fully. But Saint Anselm, who was a doctor of the church, he says that faith seeks understanding. So if we have our Catholic faith, then we should try to understand it as best we can. But don't kid ourselves into believing that if harder we study, we'll be able to plumb the depths of all the mysteries of our Catholic faith. That's never going to happen. And I'll prove it by means of a pretty well-known story. There is a scholar, a priest, a bishop that was walking along the seashore. He was resting from his mental labor. And there on the seashore, he saw a little boy who had a pail. And he was going into the ocean, filling his pail and throwing the water into the sand. And the scholar, who was actually a bishop, said, "What are you doing?" So he saw the boy running into the waves and filling his pail with water and splashing the water on the sand, running back and forth. And the little boy said, "I'm trying to empty the ocean with my little bucket." And the scholarly bishop said, "You're never going to be able to do that." The little child said to him, "Neither will you ever plumb the depths and understand, comprehend completely the mystery of the Blessed Trinity." That man was Saint Augustine. The little boy was not so much a boy, but was an angel. In which he was saying, "Look, easier for me to empty the ocean with my little bucket than for you to comprehend the depths of the mystery of the Blessed Trinity." So my friends, whatever we do by means of word and teaching and preaching and images on this mystery, we'll understand it only to a limited degree. But as Saint Anselm points out, faith seeks understanding. Faith seeks understanding. So here we have it. My friends, we're going through the Acts of the Apostles. We're trying to give a summary at least some salient points on the gospel of the Holy Spirit, the Acts, gleaning the whole idea of the Holy Spirit. So in the Trinity, we have three persons. These three persons are, they're distinct, meaning that they're different, but they're equal. They're distinct or different, but they are equal. And we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Father is the first person of the Blessed Trinity. The Son is the second person of the Blessed Trinity. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Blessed Trinity. They are distinct in persons, but they're equal in nature. I repeat, they are distinct in persons, but they're equal in nature. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Son, is the second person of the Trinity. And the Son, His name is Jesus. In Jesus, there are two natures. They are the divine nature and the human nature. Divine nature means He's God of gods, Lord of lords, begotten, not made, as we pray in the Creed. In His human nature, Jesus came into existence. How did it come about? By Mary saying yes. And then the Holy Spirit. See, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, they work together. They work together. Through Mary's yes, behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done to me according to their word. The Holy Spirit covered over Mary. And Mary conceived Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's called the Shekinah, the overflowing. And then we have the incarnation of the Son of God in Mary. That's called the incarnation. It's also called the hypostatic union. The hypostatic union is a union of the two natures. The union of the two natures, which would be the nature, the human nature and the divine nature, were wedded, brought together. In the one person. So my friend, this is somewhat of a dogmatic theological conversation, but we have to come to terms with a greater understanding of the Holy Spirit, of the Blessed Trinity, and the Holy Spirit present within the Blessed Trinity. Let's go deeper. Let's go deeper and ask the Holy Spirit Himself to give us a greater knowledge and love of Himself. Now, the Father loves the Son. Father loves the Son, and the Father generates the Son. And the Son loves the Father. So there's a mutual bond of love between the Father and the Son. You might even call it a community of love and sharing. Father loves the Son loves the Father. What about the Holy Spirit? What about the Holy Spirit? Well, the Holy Spirit, my friends, is the bond of love between the Father and the Son. The bond of love between the Father and the Son is the Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit. The bond of love between the Father and the Son is the Holy Spirit. So, in a certain sense, we can say this. We can say this. Is that the Holy Spirit is the mutual bond of love between the Father and the Son. The Holy Spirit is the mutual bond of love between the Father and the Son. Mutual bond. So if you like, the Holy Spirit is uncreated love. Now let's try to go deeper in the Trinity, because the Trinity is, my friends, we're not going to understand it perfectly. Remember St. Augustine and the angel, we're not going to understand it perfectly. Once St. Augustine was teaching, and he was teaching on the Trinity, he said, "Did you understand perfectly?" And one man said, "Yes." And St. Augustine said, "You're a liar." "You're a liar, because we cannot understand it in its depths." We cannot understand its depths. In its depths. But we have to, as St. Anselm says, faith seeks understanding. Faith seeks understanding. Faith seeks understanding. So the Father loves the Son loves the Father. The mutual bond of love between the Father and the Son is the Holy Spirit. Beautiful. For that reason, the Holy Spirit is sometimes known as the mutual embrace, the mutual kiss between the Father and the Son. Between the Father and the Son. By means of appropriation, the Father is known as the Creator. The Son is attributed to as the Redeemer or Savior. And the Holy Spirit is known as the Sanctifier. Father, the Creator, Son, Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit, the Sanctifier. To the Father, we attribute power. Think about the creation of the world. The Son is wisdom. He's the Logos, the Word of the Father. Holy Spirit being the Sanctifier, He's the love. He's the loving bond between the Father and the Son. So there, my friends, we have the mystery of the Blessed Trinity. And every time you make the sign of the cross in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, you're calling to mind, my friends, that great mystery of the Trinity. And the Trinity is in heaven, but the Trinity is within us through grace. So let's move. So there we have the mystery of the Blessed Trinity. Explain to a limited degree. To a limited degree. To a limited degree. To a limited degree. Now, moving from there, we move to the Blessed Mother. And let's see the relationship that Mary has with the Holy Spirit. That Mary has with the Holy Spirit. Mary is the daughter of God the Father. Mary is the mother of God the Son. And Mary is the mystical spouse. Mary is the mystical spouse of the Holy Spirit. Mary, the daughter of God the Father, the mother of God the Son, and Mary is the mystical spouse. Mary is the mystical spouse of the Holy Spirit. For that reason, St. Louis de Montfort, the great Marian author, says, those who love Mary, the Holy Spirit flings himself into that soul. The Holy Spirit flings himself into that soul. So speaking about the Holy Spirit, let's move from the Trinity to the relationship with Mary. Let's talk about the Holy Spirit now in the mystery of the Church. Catechism of the Catholic Church highlights various workings of the Holy Spirit within the Church. But an overall interpretation of the Holy Spirit in the Church is this. Among the many expressions, names given for the Church, we've mentioned names for Mary, we've mentioned names for the Holy Spirit, but also the Church. The Church has many, many names also. The people of God, God's flock, the house of God, his vineyard, his plantation. These are images that we can find in Lumen Gentium. But a very renowned image, and Pope Pius XII actually wrote an encyclical on this, Pius XII, Mystici Corporis, which interpreted would be the mystical body of Christ. Mystici Corporis, the mystical body of Christ. So, where do we find the Holy Spirit in the mystical body of Christ? If you take the body, there's the head and there's the members. The head of the mystical body of the Church is Christ himself. Is Christ himself. We are the members. C- Christ is the head and we are the members. Christ is the invisible head. The visible head is the Holy Father. Is the Holy Father. We are the members. The purpose of the mystical body of Christ is to glorify God the Father. So you're probably saying, well, Father Brougham, okay, fine. Well, what about the Holy Spirit within the mystery of the church? And it's this. The Holy Spirit is the soul of the church. Christ is the head, and he wants to glorify God the Father. We are the members. Peter says we're the living stones. We are the members. But then what about the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the soul of the church. That's right. The Holy Spirit is the very soul of the church. And when we say soul, the philosophical definition, a theological philosophical definition of soul is simply this. The soul is the life-giving principle. That which gives life. That being said, what is death? The death in the human person is when the soul leaves the body. That's right. When the soul leaves the body, there you have death. There you have death. The separation of the soul from the body. So the church, my friends, is always going to be alive. In the sense that the church has as its life-giving principle the Holy Spirit, life itself. The palpitating heart, you might say, the church is the Holy Spirit. It's beautiful to be able to learn about the Holy Spirit. And he's the one that gives us a lot of light. Look at the apostles. Pre-Pentecost. And then look at the apostles post-Pentecost as we've been reading through the Acts of the Apostles. Especially in the person of Simon Peter. And then once the Holy Spirit descends upon Peter, there's just a radical change. A radical change. And it's the working of the Holy Spirit that allows this transformation to come about. For example, Jesus is in Caesarea Philippi. And Jesus makes this statement. He asks the question, who am I? Who do people say that I am? Great question. The Christological question. Who do people say that I am? And the apostles say, well, some people say you're John the Baptist, whose return. Others say that you're Elijah. Others say that you're Jeremiah. Others say that you're one of the prophets of old that has returned. So these were various opinions that were floating around during the public life of Christ. And they were all wrong. They're opinions. Jesus turns to the apostles and asks them, well, who do you say that I am? And it was Peter that pipes up, Peter. Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus praises Peter, saying, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. Therefore, I'll call you Petra, rock, rock. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of heaven will not prevail against you. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So we see Peter being enlightened by the Holy Spirit. He opens his mind, his heart, and his lips to profess Jesus as Lord. He was moved by the Holy Spirit. Paul will go on to say, we cannot say Abba, Father, if we're not moved by the Holy Spirit. But then, my friends, in the same chapter, what follows Peter's profession of faith, what follows is the following. Jesus makes his prophecy, that he will suffer. He'll be rejected. He'll be put to death. And then the third day he'll rise from the dead. Peter, hearing this, takes Jesus aside and starts to rebuke him. Lord, far be this from you. And you know what Jesus said. He said, Peter, get behind me. He says, get behind me, Satan, rather. Get behind me, Satan, because you're not thinking the way God thinks, but the way men think. And Jesus teaches us, unless whoever wants to be his follower must renounce himself, pick up his cross, and follow Christ. So I'm showing you, my friends, the presence of the Holy Spirit and the lack of the Holy Spirit. If we don't have the Holy Spirit, we'll be reasoning only on a natural plane, but not the supernatural plane. On a natural plane, but not on the supernatural plane. On the natural plane, but not on the supernatural plane. So there we see in the gospel, Peter had moments in which he was being enlightened by the Holy Spirit and corresponding to this light and expressing it. But then we have Peter in moments of darkness, where he's moved more by the flesh than by the Spirit. But then once the Holy Spirit, and this is what we're preparing for, we're talking about this topic that we're preparing for this coming Sunday, just in 3 days. Once the Holy Spirit descends upon Mary and the apostles, and of course Simon Peter, he's no longer going to be the same person. He's going to be radically transformed. This same Simon Peter, who Holy Thursday night, Jesus says that the shepherd will be struck and the sheep will be scattered, and you'll all leave me alone. Peter says, Lord, I will not. Jesus says, oh, is that true, Peter? Before the cock crows, you have denied me three times. We know that's exactly what happened, that Peter denied our Lord three times. All of this, my friends, is before the coming of the Holy Spirit. But now as we get close to Pentecost, calling to mind that first Pentecost in the upper room, in the cenacle, we're calling to mind that experience that transformed the church, known as the birthday of the church. We see in the person of Simon Peter. Simon Peter gets up after the Holy Spirit has ascended upon him and the apostles. And he gives what is called the Pentecost Discourse. And we're moved to see someone who's preaching with so much clarity, conviction, unction, such that there is such an incredible response. He's preaching to a huge number of people, that 3,000, my friends, 3,000 of those people that were there that first Pentecost, 3,000. Said, what are we supposed to do? Peter says, repent of your sins and be baptized. And they accept that exhortation. So 3,000 people are converted. As a result, my friends, of one preaching, one homily. Can you imagine that? 3,000 people being converted as a result of one sermon, one homily. By a man, who just a few days earlier said with his tongue three times, I don't even know who Jesus is. I don't even know who Jesus is. So my friends, in Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, we're getting ready for one of the key feast days or solemnities within the Catholic Church. And that is Pentecost. Pentecost, my friends, which means 50. 50 days after Easter. So we've given you a brief catechesis on the Holy Spirit in the mystery of the Blessed Trinity. In the mystery of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And in the mystery of the Church. And in the person of Simon Peter. Let us pray often the short prayer that I've taught you. Easy to remember. To be prayed often. And that prayer is, my friends, come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come to the heart of Mary. Amen. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary.